Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about what Dr. Castleberry, Joseph Castleberry, president of Northwest University, he's has an exciting report that's basically saying that immigrants coming to the United States are powerfully adding to the increase of Christianity in America. This is so exciting because he sees this as a catalyst for a revival. And I'll tell you, we are in great need of revival. And so many people today, so many believers are praying and believing for a powerful move of God. And maybe, just maybe, God's allowing all of these immigrants that are coming every year to the United States to be citizens, that we can reach them for Christ. I mean, they're coming excited, hungry for America. They're hungry for God, and I mean, it's amazing what is taking place. He's going to share with us this report, and we want to see what is actually happening, and so that we can continue to pray and be a part of this awesome move of God. Watch this.
What is the spiritual effect of immigration in the United States? It is a question that Joseph Castleberry, president of Northwest University, tackles in his latest book, The New Pilgrims. Dr. Castleberry joins us now with some answers. Dr. Castleberry, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Heather. It's a pleasure to be on CBN.
You write that a rising xenophobia has blinded many Christians to the spiritual effect of immigration on the U.S. That is kind of a mistrust of strangers. Why do you think that is?
Well, one of the reasons is that we are at a high concentration of immigrants in the country. It's not the highest ever, but it is heavier than we're used to. And that always, throughout American history, has caused a backlash from the native population, and it's certainly doing it now. Another thing, I mean, on a purely spiritual plane, I think there is an enemy. America has an enemy, and immigrants are bringing a tremendous revival of Christianity to the country in their churches. And I don't think the enemy likes it.
Right. We have, of course, had major waves of immigration in recent years from Latin America, as well as from Africa and Asia. What do we know about the faith of these immigrants?
Well, we know that it's pretty high octane. They tend to come with a very strong religious faith. They have tremendous testimonies, many of them, about how God brought them here and how God was with them all along the way. When they get here, they are planting churches, and they're reaching out to immigrants who aren't Christians and who have fallen into what sociologists call anomy, which is a sense of lawlessness and lostness. And most immigrant churches are overwhelmingly new converts. 50 to 80% of the churches that I talk to were, in the churches I talk to, 50 to 80% of the members were brand new converts. And that's what we're seeing in immigrant churches all over the country. And it goes all the way back into American history the same way. Immigrant churches have always had an important role in bringing order to sometimes a chaotic immigrant experience.
Mm. So how would you define the spiritual influence of these immigrants as they are coming to our country? I know it's not just one thing, but what do you think are some of the ways that they are influencing the U.S. Spiritually?
Well, they're certainly, as I said before, having a great evangelistic impact on immigrants themselves, but they're also filling the pews of lots of established churches in the country that have been declining in number, and they're certainly glad to see those immigrants come. And I document in the book about how that's happening across all of Christianity, certainly in the Roman Catholic Church, in all of the Protestant denominations, and especially among evangelical and Pentecostal congregations. 30%, according to Time Magazine, 30% of Latino immigrants who come to the United States are converting to Pentecostalism once they get here. That's having a huge impact on Pentecostal churches. And it's also having an intergenerational effect. If you look at the leadership of America's established churches, English-speaking churches, more and more you're seeing that the leaders are the children and grandchildren of immigrants. And that's been true all the way back through American history. So immigrants are an important spiritual part of America's identity. It goes back to our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, that we're one nation made up of many peoples. And, you know, being American isn't having a certain ethnic identity. It's about sharing American values. Mm. And people from all over the world come here, they adopt our values, they assimilate into our culture, and they have a great spiritual impact on us. And especially right now when Christianity is slipping in America, we've lost 8% of the national population to unbelief in the last 7 years. This is a crucial time for immigrants to bring a renewed emphasis on the power of God to our country.
Really fascinating. I'm curious about one point you make in the book. You talk about how some evangelicals seem to resent immigrants who form churches based on their ethnicity, based on their language. But you argue that we indeed need ethnic churches. Why is that?
Oh, absolutely. Especially if they're worried about those immigrants who may be falling on the wrong side of the law. They are a very small percentage of immigrants, but they do make a disproportionate impact in the media because, as you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And the media always gives a distorted picture of immigrants. But there is an element of the immigrant population that gets in trouble. And churches that are worshiping in their language and reaching out to them in their own languages can have a tremendous impact on restoring a sense of order in their life and bringing them to God, bringing them to Christ. So that's probably the most important part.
From your standpoint, what are some of the best ways that Christians here, already established in the U.S., can reach out to new immigrants?
Well, there are lots of ways. One is to welcome those immigrants who come to your church without asking what their legal status are. They come to church looking for God, and we absolutely have to give them an experience of God in our churches and a warm hand of welcome. We're not employed as the Border Patrol of the United States. We're employed as ministers of the gospel and as Christians who have a responsibility to reach out to every human being who comes to us with the love of Jesus. So we want to accept them in our churches. We want to encourage them in founding ethnic churches because those are important transitional places where they can get a sense of balance and stability in American society and do so in the full-throated worship of God. And then perhaps the most important way that American Christians can help immigrants is to advocate for comprehensive immigration reform. Our immigration system is terribly broken in the United States, and it puts the rule of law in peril. And not only is the rule of law totally important for America's future, but it's also the very thing that brought immigrants here. And it would be unfair to let the rule of law fall apart in the United States when they come here partly to come under the protection of law. So it's important that we straighten out our legal system and make it a fair system that works for America and that is provides justice for immigrants as well.
All right. Well, Dr. Castleberry, it's exciting to think about the spiritual impact that these immigrants are having, how God is working. Thank you for your time.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. And thank you so much.
This is so exciting. Think about it. Immigrants coming to the United States and they're looking for Jesus. They want to know the truth. This is so, so exciting. I cannot wait to continue to look at more of this book. In fact, we have the cover of the book for you. I want to encourage you. It's called The New Pilgrims. Get it today. Get educated. There's a lot of narratives that are going on right now, especially about immigration. And as the church, we need to be involved in this topic, in this issue, because we're interested in reaching people. I mean, there's ways that we can do this. And if they're coming here, we can give them the gospel and the truth. This is absolutely encouraging and amazing. And it just reminds me of even just how our country was founded. I mean, people came to America looking for a place where they can worship God. In fact, in New Jersey, while I was there, the city of Newark, believe it or not, Newark, the pilgrims couldn't decide what to name the city. They were going to name it either Newark, because it was a new, you know, work, a new ministry, a new thing they were doing, or Newark. And they settled on Newark, and there you have Newark, New Jersey. Listen, there's so many places that people are coming from. Then they're coming for many reasons, but if they're coming for Jesus, we need to have Jesus to offer them. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to unpack this and also talk about this nonstop prayer movement that's happening in China, no less. This is so exciting. I want to encourage you, get the book. You're probably seeing an image right now. It's called The New Pilgrims, and this gives us a fresh biblical perspective, a kingdom perspective. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of, you know, immigrants that are coming to the United States right now. You know, there's a lot of talk. I mean, we know that the borders are porous. Some are coming illegally. Many have come legally. And we want to make sure that that process remains. I mean, we do want people to come to our country following the law. Yeah. However, you know, they're coming. They're coming, and we have the opportunity, maybe because we haven't maybe gone into the mission field. God in his mercy is allowing them to come here.
Brought the mission field to us.
Yeah, and we have a great opportunity to be able to minister to them and allow them to flourish and grow.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's powerful. One of the things that he said during that was that, you know, America is not America because of the people. America is America because of the values.
Right.
And what is so powerful to think about is, you know, oftentimes we can get this one-track mindset of just basically just thinking, you know, within the blinders. And it's like, God said, no, God said, go to all the nations.
Yes.
And even as he was saying that, I was reminded of when you look in Revelation, it even talks about the people around the throne room. And it says in here in Revelation 7, it says in verse 9, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in the front of the Lamb.
Wow.
That is the world. And it's like to imagine the fact that they're coming hungry, like you're saying, for Jesus. We have Jesus for them.
Yeah.
The possibilities.
Yeah, a lot of times we get scared of things that maybe we don't know or we're not familiar mm-hmm. with. Let me tell you something. I mean, there's nothing greater than experiencing change and diversity. You know, I had a chance to live in New York and just working with so many people from mm-hmm. so many different places with so much culture. And I mean, it was wonderful. It was great. And you get to learn yeah. so much because everyone's not like you. Imagine that, right?
Yes.
But, you know, we can all learn from each other. And guess what? They all have relationships, you know, wherever they're from. So mm-hmm. by reaching someone in the United States that's different than you are, for Christ, that has exponential possibilities because they can reach their family in whatever country they're originally mm-hmm. from. So it is an absolute wonderful thing that is happening. And I want to encourage you, begin to start having a different paradigm if you don't have one already, to say, you know, I want to be able to do my part in reaching mm-hmm. Someone that's come to the United States you know, for Christ. I had a wonderful conversation with a young lady that came from Russia, and just to be able to ask her questions about Russia and ask her about what's happening in the churches in Russia, and it's just beautiful. I mean, it was really a great interaction mm-hmm. and why she came here. In fact, she told me she was looking to be a part mm-hmm. of a fellowship, so it was really, really powerful.
You know, even as you're saying that, I'm reminded of one of the encounters you had while you were in New Jersey. In a line buying some burgers, and you were able
yes.
to minister to a lady, and I can't remember the specific country which she was from.
Yeah, that's funny. You know, Teresa and I were in Central Park, and we decided to get burgers, Shake Shack. Oh my goodness, great place. But we're going to get some burgers, and we're standing in a line that's wrapped outside the building, Steve. And we're just, you know, looking to strike up conversation, and we ran into a young lady from South Korea. Her name is Amy Kim, and maybe we may have a picture of her related for you on the torch somewhere, but it was an amazing encounter because she was visiting friends, family in New Jersey, and she was her first time in the United States, and we just struck up a conversation, and we felt led, you know, of the Lord to buy her lunch. She was amazed that Americans would buy her lunch, buy her mm-hmm. burger. She was, you know, blown away because she had a mindset of Americans.
Right.
And before you know it, we had the opportunity to start talking about Jesus, right? Come to find out, this young woman who was visiting family, right. Her aunt was a devout Christian and was just witnessing to her.
Right.
We had the pleasure of leading her to the Lord, and
wow.
we've actually, that was on a Saturday, and we invited her to our fellowship the next day, and she came, and it was wonderful. Got her some discipleship material and sent her back off to South mm-hmm. Korea. But how amazing was that just to be able to encounter people
right.
that are
right
not like you.
Yeah.
And I like you. I thought about another opportunity where I was walking through a mall in Jersey City and happened to come across a merchant, and actually she was wanting me to buy this wallet. She was from India. And so every time she'd ask, hey, buy the wallet. So finally I said, okay, I'm going to buy the wallet. And I picked it up, and we got to talking about the Lord, and I forgot to pay for the wallet. So I walked like 10 minutes, you know, past through the mall, and I realized, oh my goodness, I had this wallet. I didn't pay for this. So I go back, and she was, you know, grateful. And we just struck up this conversation, and lo and behold, she began to start telling me about her son. And I had the opportunity to meet with him and share Christ with him and invited him to come to our gathering. And we had an opportunity. We'll bring our different, you know, foods and we eat together. And he brought some Indian cuisine. And, you know, when you eat other people's food, you get
you
a chance.
You
connect with them. And it was just, again, an amazing encounter, something that I've, you know, I've never eaten Indian food. And I didn't even have any kind of friends that were from India. But I had the opportunity to meet some. And it was just so cool. And I got to talk about the things that were important to me, which, you know, is the Lord. And in that interaction, he was very open and receptive to prayer. And God was just opening a door there. So it's pretty amazing what happens.
I love that. When you think about it, you know, when you talk about the encounter with the young lady who's from, you said South Korea.
Yes, Amy.
And you look at that, she was in America for only a short period of time, a small window. And as you say that, it makes me think of in the book of Acts when Philip was witnessing to Cornelius, to the Ethiopian man. He was ministering to him, shares in the gospel, and it says that he went on his way. And you think about it, a man representing an entire nation.
Yeah.
In that short period of time, imagine if we were to just say, God, help me to see the people around me with your eyes. And it's just like if we're carrying the kingdom in us, we're kingdom containers.
Yeah.
We're walking. And it's imagine you don't even know, God, who have you placed right next to me? When you're in that abiding time, in your morning time, or whatever you're spending time with the Lord, ask him, help me to see who you've placed right next to me. Because you never know. You might be sharing the gospel with somebody that in the next week might go and just share the gospel to their entire nation. You don't know who's right next to
you. That's right.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.